I was in a crossroads. I had a really rough year. We won't dive super deep. They can go listen to the other podcast, but I was kind of soul searching in terms of what I wanted to do. Competition was really starting to, I just felt the pressure of the competition. I knew I needed to make some changes. I needed a good road trip. I needed to clear my head. I was really nervous about switching my side over. No better way to meet you in person, look you in the eye, and I knew it was the right thing, so I never looked back.
What's up, everybody? Trevor here with multiple returning guests, Tyler Ford. We were just chatting right before we hopped on and hit record here, just kind of getting caught up on what he's been doing recently. And it's really cool. He was here at Carrot Camp last fall. He's a big biker. He's just an amazing fitness fanatic. But I want to welcome back to the Carrot Cast, Mr. Tyler Ford. Welcome back, man.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks for having me back. I always love doing this and enjoy always talking with you. And the last couple of podcasts that I've done, you've given me a couple nuggets that I've gone out and done and continue to pay for themselves.
This is your second or third time. I can't remember if you'll look back at the Carrot Cast. We've done some other content with you, but dude, I just want to throw some love back your way. So really appreciate you stepping up and being willing to share. I know it's something that when you're sharing stuff that's working for you, oftentimes these things can creep in our minds. Oh my gosh, what if my competition catches this? And I just really appreciate you going out there and just sharing, being a go-giver and just working harder than your competition to beat them. So thanks for coming back and sharing, man, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I love doing them.
We're going to talk about kind of getting caught up on Tyler and where he is now. So if any of you guys have been kind of following his journey, we'll do so. We'll talk about how he's really leveraging the retail side and the wholesale side really, really well. Because I think that's critical, if not just one of the most important things you can focus on over the next 2 to 5 years as an agent / investor, and then also kind of dive into some of the strategies he's using to keep ahead of his market. But let's talk about that, man. So way back in the first episode, we got to talking about how you were introduced to us, and as the Cliff Notes version of it, Tyler hit me up one day, was looking at Carrot, and just like, you know, oftentimes there's some skepticisms. Does this thing work? Does it not? And go back and listen to that first episode. We'll put it in the show notes where we talk about how Tyler, after 20 years, was getting ready to give up on real estate. And then he took a leap with us, executed really, really well. And now he's got an amazing business. We'll talk about it here in a bit. But he took the leap, guys. He actually drove from Arizona up to Oregon to meet with me here in the Roseburg offices for a few hours. And it's built a great relationship. He's been back since the Carrot Camp. So in that instance, man, why did you take that leap to make a very long drive to come to middle of nowhere, Oregon, to make that decision for your career?
Well, I was in a crossroads. I had a really rough year. We won't dive super deep. They can go listen to the other podcast, but I was kind of soul searching in terms of what I wanted to do. Competition was really starting to, I just felt the pressure of the competition. I knew I needed to make some changes, and I needed a good road trip. I needed to clear my head, and I was really nervous about switching my side over, and no better way to meet you in person, look you in the eye. And I knew it was the right thing. So I never looked back.
Good, man. And we're pumped about it. So let's kind of speed it up here. So one of the big things I've been trumpeting in a big way is how I'm really convicted. I'm writing an article that's going to come out here shortly that I think is going to be like a pillar article for the industry. It's how you've got the retail side, the wholesale side of the industry, how I feel they're going to come more and more closer together. They already are starting to do so. And you're a real estate agent and an investor. Why don't you kind of break down essentially, for those of you who are new to Tyler Ford's story, what your business model is. What are you doing on the business model?
You know, I'd been rehabbing homes for 25 years and had a really rough go, lost quite a bit of money on a couple deals, contractor disappeared, and just was done spending days at Home Depot dealing with contractors. And I have totally revamped my business model to where I'm more on the hoteling side. And I haven't rehabbed a home in 2 years. So cool. Get enough leads. So my model is generating tons of leads, taking down deals, and then hoteling them or wholesaling them in the MLS. Mm-hmm. And it's been my model for the last couple of years, and it's worked really, really well. and EXP is investor friendly. And I mean, I'm looking at the amount of money that I'm making, but also it's more than just a commission check, because in EXP, every time I do a deal, I can take 5% of my gross commission and buy stock at a 5% discount to the market. And so it just, it's awesome. And so, you know, it's over a period of time, it's really now starting to add up.
Mm-hmm. Dude. So one thing that you'd mentioned there is, so you've got your lead generation machine on the Carrot side, which we'll talk about that here in a bit. Tons of organic traffic coming in. I've got your site pulled up here, the lead manager, and there's leads coming in every day, multiple leads every day, it looks like, between your wholesale buyers and your sellers. So you've got some really good consistent leads coming in. So what's your standard playbook, man? So a lead comes in, what percentage of those leads tend to be ones that you can start to, that you can make offers on, that you might buy, versus ones that you push over to the retail side?
For example, I mean, we're buying, so two questions. We're buying about 1 in 17 leads that we get.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our numbers. And it's anywhere from 1 in 15, 1 in 20, 1 in 17, somewhere right around there. But my primary goal is to do what's right for the people that are calling.
Mm-hmm.
Not about how much money I can make. It's about doing the right thing. So like, for example, I had a lead come in last week and they were a borderline short sale situation. And I referred it over to an agent in our office. He ran out there, got the listing, and within a week he had the property under contract and was able to get it sold just enough to where they didn't have to come out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really happy. And on top of that, I'll get a referral fee from the commission.
Mm.
So it just depends on each deal that comes in. But I always kind of do the takeaway and push them towards the retail side and just tell them, hey, I'll be honest with you. You know, dealing with us, it's, you get speed and convenience for price.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, if speed is not what you're looking for, you know, I'd recommend you go the retail way and put more money in your pocket, and that's the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I kind of do the takeaway, and if they start to agree with me in that sense, then I ask them, hey, can I refer a great realtor to you? And then I send them over to somebody in my rev share in EXP.
Mm-hmm.
That I not only get rev share, but I also get, you know, anywhere from 25 to 30% referral fee. So either way, and this goes back to your original question, being, you know, an investor agent, it just gives you so many more options to be able to capitalize on every single deal that comes in to do the right thing. Whereas if you're not an agent, then you're always solely looking to try to buy it when it might not be the best thing for that person. So I think being an agent and an investor gives you the ability to always do the right thing.
Dude, and you said this one phrase three times just now. You said do the right thing three times. And I think that's really important, because here's what I want people to latch on to, whether you're an agent or an investor, is historically, now I'm not going to say 100%, but historically, agents have this weird mindset around a wholesaler or flipper. Many times you'll hear the agent say it's illegal or whatever. Now there are laws being passed right now. Like there's one in Illinois that was literally signed this week that basically says that wholesaling the traditional way is going to be illegal moving forward. You have to have a license or you got to buy it and do a double close, right? So there are going to be some laws that are coming down, which you're going to see a lot more of that, y'all. And I've been predicting this for years. You're going to see a lot more of that, because the real estate broker agent side of things has a massive lobby. Now they're going to do everything they can do to protect that industry. The wholesaler and flipper side has not much lobby at all, so there's not going to be much leverage. So you're going to see more and more lobbies hit these states saying, hey, these wholesalers and these flippers are the people that are not taking ownership of the contract. They're doing what we're doing. They're going to lobby, and then they're going to get more and more states to sign off on that, saying that wholesaling the traditional way is not going to work. Now, how long is it going to take for that to happen? I think it's going to be years, but it's already happening. Illinois signed it this week. So the reason I'm bringing this up is not to scare people, is to go back to what Tyler said, do the right thing. Is your job here, y'all, and I'm going to recap what Tyler said, your job here is not to go out there and paint every and look at every lead as how do I buy this, and then lowball the crap out of people with offers. Your job as an agent is not to go out there and go, how do I make sure that this is a listing on the MLS? Your job is to go, what is this person's situation? What are their motivations? What are they going after? And how can I solve that the best possible way I know how? Whether it's helping them get the most in their pocket by listing it on the market, or whether it's making them an offer with cash that's a fair offer that can make it happen quickly. So if you guys aren't making both offers, you're probably not doing the right thing by a huge percentage of your leads that are coming in. You're throwing them away because you can't serve them. If you can't serve them, someone else is going to have to, or no one will, and then that client suffers in a big way, which is kind of scary. So on your guys' side, Tyler, you mentioned you're wholesaling a lot of them. Are you seeing, because we're towards that back part of the market for sure. Are you seeing, will that strategy have to shift at all as the market softens and has whatever the correction it is, if it's a strong correction, if it's a soft one, whatever, are you going to have to shift strategies, or do you feel the wholesaling is still going to be the main strategy?
Oh, I'm sure at some point it is going to shift, and I will have to shift. Mm-hmm. Don't know the shift that I will make, but I can tell you this, I'm not going to do rehabs if it comes to that. So I'll figure something out, but yeah. I've been conservative along the way to be taking the money and putting it into rental properties. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if we're not getting as many leads or they're not as profitable, again, it goes back to doing what's right. And I'll figure out a way. I've always done it, and just mm-hmm. you know, you got to be able to bend and change as the market shifts and changes. And as far as the model and how I will be doing it, again, it goes back to, you know, if you have a license, it gives you a lot more options and flexibility.
Yep.
Maybe I'll deal more on the retail side of real estate because I'm doing a lot of what you teach on the retail side to generate leads and create a lot of business on the retail side. So yep. Again, it's giving me the flexibility to have more options and to not be running around stressed out because I don't know where my next deal is going to come from.
And you mentioned the rental side of it. And that's something too, if you're a real estate agent listening to this, I would so encourage you all to really look at what's your long-term plan, what's your long-term strategy in your business. And in the short term, of course, we always have to be doing what I call active income. But then ideally you take some of that active income to pull it over here to something else that provides you more of a passive income. Now, true passive income is really hard to get. You can totally get it. But even rental properties can be like semi-passive. You still got to do some stuff, right?
Right. Well, one of the things too that I've been doing on handful of deals, we're buying them right. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to get my initial investment back and then carry the difference.
I love it.
So I've got like 4 notes out there right now where I've gotten all my money back. And then I'm, you know, whether it's a 10 or a 15 year AM, I've got some good note income coming in, but at zero risk, because I've gotten 100% of my money back based on my acquisition costs.
Dude, so those two things right there, those are things I want people to look out for as a market corrects and Tyler's starting to go down those paths is housing. Interest rates are probably going to keep on creeping down a little bit up to election, but I think you're going to start to see, because election's coming up, you're going to start to see some pressures getting put in the economy that's going to make some things happen. So I think everyone should prepare for some sort of a financial correction to happen in the overall stock market, which would then trickle down to people's confidence in buying houses, which would then make it harder to sell some houses. But then also the banks might be tightening up some of their stuff potentially, maybe not. But by having the strategies that Tyler's talking about, as the market starts to shift a little bit, picking up some more rental properties at a good discount, because people are going to definitely need places to live. And oftentimes rental prices actually increase during these times because demand goes up. So rental properties, if you buy them right, it's going to be a great strategy. So if you have some cash, have it in a place where it can be decently liquid the next 2 to 3 years. And then the next thing is, like Tyler said, is start to find some of these transactions where in a market where it's a little bit softer, it's usually the buyers are the ones that are more scarce. And so if you can create buyers out of people that maybe wouldn't go traditionally go get a loan, or they couldn't get a loan from a bank like Tyler's talking, that's where you really open up your strategy a lot more, because Tyler can buy a property at a really good discount. The person might have money to pay a down payment, and they pay Tyler the down payment. It recoups his money or most of it, and then on terms, because that's gonna be a big opportunity.
And the majority of the carrybacks were specific content that I created, knowing that type of lead would produce that. Mm. And so 2 of the 4 were burn down mobiles. Hmm. That had a lot with the septic, all utilities, mobile ready to go. where I carried back the lot and then they put a mobile on there. And so the impact fees, if somebody buys a lot, just a piece of dirt, and they have to pay the impact fees, utilities, septic, all that, I mean, they're 15, 20 grand into it without even the acquisition cost of the land. So there's a lot of land out there where mobiles have burnt down, where I've focused in on that type of long tail SEO to go get that lead. And that's, I mean, I've been doing some really cool things on that type of lead that comes in, where I know exactly when it comes in, what I'm going to do with it.
Dude, let's shift over to that. That's a really cool topic. So we're going to get tactical and do some strategy here, guys, because you've heard me trumpeting for years that the people who are going to win in the real estate market as an agent or an investor are the ones who are going to dive deep and become an expert, ideally become an authority, which an authority is just someone who is an expert that a lot of people know is an expert. And the way you build authorities with content. Okay, that's the way that you build authorities, by putting content out that people see. So Tyler, let's kind of break some of this stuff down. So I've got, I'm not going to share anything proprietary, but I've got your site pulled up. I'm looking at the stats page, and I can see where the traffic is.
There's two different sites, so.
That's right. Yeah, you've got multiple carrot sites. So I've got one of your main sites pulled up in Tucson. Mm-hmm. I'm just reading off some of the traffic stats here. This goes back 90 days, but one of your articles, the number three most visited page on your website, is an article that's best time to sell your home in blank. You've got, you know, another one that's mobile home specific. You've got one that's specific to subject to existing mortgage. You've got some other ones down there too. So what's your strategy, man, on doing what you said there, targeting content that is going to attract the ideal client that gives you that type of deal you're looking for? What do you do?
Well, I, you know, when I'm driving around, I'm constantly thinking about different types of things. And if I come up with an idea, I'll usually just make a note of it, and then focus on content creation. I mean, what you push out on the Advanced Marketer is awesome, and I highly recommend that everybody be on that platform, because you need content for the SEO side of things. But I would say don't stop at that. And so there's all these other little things that you can do within your market, and everybody's market's different. And so I've always got a constant library of these thoughts and ideas that I have. And when I've got the time, I just sit down and start writing content based around that. But for example, you know, there's a place way west of Tucson called, I'm not going to mention the name, but it's a subdivision where it's just land. And I've been able to create some very specific content for the type of land, mobile home land, which as the market's increased, mobile homes are becoming much more desirable just because of the cost of living. Yep. And, you know, I called it K to C. I kicked mobile homes to the curb for years and years and years just because I didn't understand them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do with them, and I didn't think there was any demand. I didn't think there was any profit in them. And then I just created some content, started getting some leads, did a couple deals, did really well on them, and it just opened up my mind with a whole different way of thinking in terms of content. So, I mean, there's all sorts of different things you can do based on your market.
Man, and so many people are focused in on, rightfully so, because that's where the majority of the traffic is, but so many people are focusing on the main keywords, you know, sell my house fast, insert city, we buy houses, insert city, cash home buyers, insert city. Those are all great keywords, and they're probably going to give you measurably more traffic per keyword than other ones. But if you look at one of your Tucson sites, man, it's like that page is in the top 10, but the rest of it's all very niche content that you're hyper-targeting in, which is going to be really quality targeted prospects.
Yeah. I mean, I just like to fish in ponds where there's not a whole lot of, where it's just an easier pond to fish in, because there's less, you're going to get less traffic, but it's a better quality of lead. Mm-hmm. And when that type of lead comes in, you know, right out of the gate, and they're usually more motivated. They're easier to deal with. So it's just a different type of lead when you're doing long tail keywords in different areas and different niches. It's a very specific type of lead that's coming in. And so based on, because when a lead comes in, you know where it came from because the page tells you. Mm-hmm. When it comes through your your back end, it tells you exactly where the lead came from. So when I see that, I'm like, okay, I know right the page that it came in on. So I know how to have a conversation with them right out of the gate based on the lead page that it came through.
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of break down the process a bit, Tyler. Just kind of give people a roadmap on how they can start to execute kind of more niche content in their market. I'm writing some notes here, and I've talked about this a lot, but I'd love to hear your process. So
I use MindMeister. It's a mind mapping program, and I've always got that up. And so everybody's market, it's a little bit different. So, like for example, this is one that we use all the time. You can Google it. Subject. Buying a home subject to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you Google that, and you know, it's something that, I mean, that's just an example to where if done right, it's a great way to do it. But so many investors do it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put together a couple really good, well-written content video posts on subject twos, doing it the right way. And so if another investor's talking to somebody in terms of doing a subject to, and they're just not getting a good feeling about it, you know, they'll oftentimes Google it for the area, then they'll find mine and I'm going to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, mirror wrap, you know, putting them in a position to where you're not going to, you know, put them at risk. So, you know, doing it the right way, but that's just an example of, based on just conversations with people and things that they're saying. It was an idea in terms of the content. And then I did what you said. It was I created a video and then I went to rev.com based on interviewing an escrow officer and then took that entire interview that I did with her, created the content. And within a week, I mean, it was like number one and gets a top traffic.
I love it. And the cool thing is, I think it's since you did that post, we developed the video post feature in 2018. You made this post in 2017. I'm looking at it right now. And so since you made that post, we have the video post feature that automates the whole Rev thing. So it cuts people's need to even use rev.com out of it completely. Just go in there, guys, look up video posts in our tutorials. And when you're going to make a new blog post, there's a little setting now. It's like standard post or video, click video. Then you just copy and paste the YouTube URL in there. Click the big orange button, I think it is, and our system sends it to Rev for you, yanks it back, puts it all into a blog post, structures the whole thing, emails you and says, hey, your post is ready. And then what Tyler did was he then took that content and just made it look more like an article. He put some headlines in there, put a couple of pictures
too, and just, you know, you can format it so it'll have a better chance at ranking better.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the one that actually challenged me and gave me the idea for that. Because you challenge everybody to go do a video, send it to Rev. And I'm like, okay. So I was thinking about which one could I do that would. So because of you challenging, you know, people on a podcast in terms of using Rev and doing a video, I immediately picked up the phone, called my escrow officer, sat down, did it. And it was awesome.
Guys and gals, novel idea. If you execute what we teach, it will work. And Tyler's always the guy who's like, he goes, listens, and he executes, and he comes back, reports back, listens more, and executes. Now I'm learning things from him all the time. Every single time we talk, I'm learning from him now because he's going out there and creating some new strategies that we're learning from.
Well, just one post, one idea, you know, and one, you know, so it takes you 30 minutes and call it an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, that one thing could pay. One post last year made me over six figures in multiple deals.
Yep.
By spending 30 minutes, maybe an hour at most. It's just taking the time and doing it, but you got to be consistent with it as well.
Dude, here's the big thing here, because I'll talk to a lot of investors and agents where they go, shoot, well, in the past, I haven't had content work for me or content didn't produce the results, you know, doing this direct mail piece thing or doing this paid ad did. And those all work. Like I never tell people not to use those. If they're working for you, you should use them. What we're talking about here will just make all that work better. And so what people will say is they'll have this stigma coming in of what content marketing is. And it's usually because they're doing it the wrong way. They're not really actually going and showing their expertise. They're just doing like a dumbed down version of an article that a VA wrote for them or something that isn't really unique. It isn't really showing any expertise. And also the reason I like to do video, guys and gals, and you don't have to be an amazing person on video. I reluctantly became someone who gets on video a lot, and now it's just kind of second nature now, but you don't have to be amazing on video. The whole thing is video helps you to build authority better because people can see you. They can hear you. They start to recognize Tyler, and he's got the logoed shirt there, and that Tyler's going to be the guy that they're talking to probably. And you immediately start to build more trust and authority when you do the videos. And here's what I want to add up to people is that we're just talking one article that Tyler talked about. He's driving down the road. He comes up with an idea. Lots of our clients are talking about subject to. I'm talking about subject to. There's not a good resource. What if I do a great subject to piece of content, call up the escrow officer, let's do it. It takes an hour total to do it all, make the article, everything. If you do one of those a week, or let's just say one every other week, or whatever your cadence is, it's something that I call evergreen marketing. And there's evergreen marketing versus what I call hamster wheel marketing. Hamster wheel marketing is where you do the marketing and then it has a very short shelf life, and then it stops. Then the results you get from that marketing stop. So a direct mail drop, as an example, it's going to work for a period of time, but then it fizzles, and eventually you're going to get no results from that direct mail drop you did 6 months ago. Same thing with cold calling, same thing with social media posting, and to an extent, same thing with Facebook ads and stuff too. The Facebook ads will work as long as Facebook keeps on letting you buy those clicks at the cost that's going to make it work, right? But evergreen marketing is something that's going to be as relevant today as it is in a year, as it is in 3 years, as it is in 5 years, because these are probably still going to be questions your prospects are asking in 5 years. And if you get that content ranking like Tyler's is, just by following our steps, people are going to be landing on that today, next month, 3 weeks from now, next year, 2 years from now, or just like this one here, he shot that. And on July 17th, 2017, here we are 2 years later, that's still pulling him deals from an activity he did one time. That's evergreen marketing. You stack those on top of each other, y'all, then over time you start to become unbeatable. And that's why we're all in on content. And Tyler, you're such a great example of it, man. I love it. What else do you do with MindMeister, man? Is that main?
You can share it with people. I actually, on the real estate side, I've actually hired somebody to do a bunch of community pages for me.
Perfect.
So we're just knocking them out. And it's crazy the amount of leads that I'm generating. But the other thing I'll do too is I'll look at my Google Analytics and I'll go back in and I'll start to clean up content that's starting to rank. Mm-hmm. So like I'll throw something out just to get the idea out there. And if you've got an idea, get it out there, because it will start to marinate and it'll start to get picked up by the search engines in terms of indexing, but it might not be the best content that it could be to generate the type of lead that you want. So I'll throw all these things out there. And as they start to rank and get indexed and start to get traffic, I'll go back in and go, okay, did I do a good job on this piece of content? And if the answer is no, then I'll go back in and I'll clean it up. I'll make it really good. And I'll spend more and more time on that content. So the key is not being perfect. It's about doing, and you don't have to get it right. It's just getting it out there.
Yep.
And go back and clean stuff up. And so I'm cleaning stuff up constantly, but it's just about implementing the ideas and, you know, and doing it and then cleaning it up. So that, to me, I'm just an action oriented guy. And to me, it's better to get it out there and not do it right than not do it at all.
Dude, and here's such a great example. So you had a chance to talk with Ricky Graham from the G Team before they moved to EXP recently. And we're working on some stuff with them over the past year. And they did something similar. They launched a bunch of location pages here on Carrot. And some of them were okay, some of them weren't, but some would start to pop up at the top of page two, bottom of page one for phrases that were going after neighborhoods here, you know, Melrose, Roseburg, Oregon homes for sale, things like that. And what was happening was they were popping up at the bottom of page one, but in a small town like this, you're really not going to get much traffic if you're at the bottom of page one. You got to be in the top two or so. And so we saw a promise there, and then we did exactly what Tyler did. He calls it cleaning it up. We hopped over there. We went coolest as promised. Now let's build out some more content. Let's make it look a little bit better, organize it a little bit better, and let's see what this does. Within weeks, it moved from bottom of page one up to there's about number four or five for a week or two. Then it beat realtor.com for the number three position. Now it's battling with Zillow for the second position. And I think it's probably going to topple Zillow here in the next month or two. But we have a video, guys and gals, we'll put it in the show notes accompanying with this. We have a video that shows me, it's 20 minutes long, but it shows me doing that exact page. I show the page how it existed before, and then I show every change I made on the page. And I'll send that to you too, Tyler, but you already got your process styled. But it shows every change I made in the page, guys. I did this and here's why I did it. I did this and here's why I did it. I did this and here's why I did it. The end result, which we did not put on that video because that video was shot, you know, a month ago or more, is now it's toppled every other thing on there except for Zillow right now. And I think it's going to topple Zillow as well. So that's a really key thing there, man. Tossing out some content, getting some location pages built out, getting video posts put out there, going after specific phrases, seeing what sticks, and then going back and going, okay, it's bottom of page one, top page two. Let's go work on that now.
Well, that's, I get excited when that happens.
Oh yeah. It's fun. Isn't it?
I know, with a little bit of tweak and then it becomes more of a game. Like, yep. It's fun. Like organic SEO to me is just, it's a blast because with a few little tweaks and just diving in, your SEO Bible is awesome. So, you know, reading that, and I always get this wrong, is it 2 a day or 3 a day per?
Three lead per day, yep.
So those two things right out of the gate I did. And it just, you know, you learn as you go. But SEO is fun. It's a game.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Dude, so there's some ideas for you guys. Start to jot down your ideas for content. Have a place to store them. Tyler uses MindMeister. I use Apple Notes. Find what works for you. Number two, start to put content out. Create location pages for those locations as an agent and as an investor. And then make sure that they're unique content on there. Have someone build them out. Tyler hired someone to do it. We can do it internally. There's other people that can do it. Just make sure they're doing it correctly.
Well, actually, I hired Carrot helped me with some of my internal pages to just, because I mean, at the beginning of this year, I got super nervous. Opendoor and OfferPad came into our market, kind of freaked me out. I did notice leads start to drop off. And so I just said, you know what, rather than do what I did last time, I'm like, I got to step up my game.
Yep.
So I really focused in on, you know, hired you guys to do some more work for me. Mm-hmm. And, really focused in on a ton more content at the beginning of the year to try to up my game for what was happening in terms of the competition.
Is it paying off? Are things starting to shift a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of those pages that I spent the beginning of the year when it's slow, I literally spent the whole month of January just focused in on all this content.
Cool.
And just last night before jumping on the call, I go on and, you know, type in things just to see how things are coming along. And sure enough, all that work that I did back in January, a lot of those pages are now ranked first page on Google.
I love it. And guys, this is what I'm talking about here is I keep on saying do things the big boys won't do, like Zillow, OfferPad, Opendoor, even some of the biggest home buyers in the markets. They oftentimes will not do this work. They stay really high level at the, not all the times, but most of them, they stay really high level at the most competitive keyword phrases, right? But if you can then start to go in at the long tail things that are more targeted, like Tyler's talking about, the subject to the mobile home, the other situations, start to create content, you're going to start to build this moat around you. And we start to talk about authority now, you are a massive authority at that point, because when your prospects are searching online, they can't get away from you because you're ranked everywhere. And then if you then have a good simple retargeting sequence on your and in Facebook where they land in your website, now you start to trickle them through back some of this content you're making, driving them back to video posts, driving them to testimonials, which we're going to make that shift here in a second now. Then you started to create this environment where you control the conversation. And that's what we're talking about, guys, is it doesn't matter if the big boys step in there. You need to do the things they will not do. Now, if you don't want to do the work, we can do a lot of the work for you. Reach out to us. We have our services division, and we're working on plans for higher level investors who just don't have the time to focus on it. I like doing the work. Tyler does too, but many people don't. So we're working on some higher level plans there. But guys, there's no excuse for not doing the work. So Tyler, one thing I just mentioned was testimonials. And before we hopped on here, that same thing, if you were to go back, I think it was 2016 or 2017, I did a podcast called What's Your Credibility Score? And that was before the whole craze of everyone's talking about you got to get credibility and stuff. At that time, no one wanted to hear it. There's like, what's a cool, sexy ad I can launch? And what's all this? I'm like, the thing everyone should be focusing on is credibility, because as the market gets more competitive, it's going to be even hard, guys and gals, harder. And then we have even carrot campers who have been to carrot camp. They're coming back going, I used to be the biggest buyer in my market. Now I'm not. And we look at stuff. We go, you're not putting any credibility online, man. Online makes it look like this person's more credible. You actually are in real life, but online doesn't make it look that way. So what are you doing, Tyler? After Carrot Camp, you were here at the last Carrot Camp. You said you implemented a strategy that's working.
Well, this was you challenging me on the last podcast. Literally. I mean, you asked me, what am I doing for credibility? And I was like, I couldn't answer the question. And I'm like, well, nothing, man. Yeah. I mean, I've got these things that give me credibility, but I'm not doing anything with them. So your challenge to me on the last podcast is you need to focus on that. So one of the things that I've implemented on every deal that we close, if I've earned the right, which I have, mm-hmm. got to earn the right, is I send an email to the person and I say, hey, if we did a great job, if it was stress-free and we delivered on everything that we said we would do, if you click on these links and fill out the testimonials on the various links and the platforms that we're on, I'll send you a $50 prepaid Visa card. And I mean, we're batting at pretty close to 100%. Mm-hmm. It's been huge in terms of just in the last 6 months, the amount of people that have actually called me and said, the reason that we're going with you, the reason we like you is because of the credibility that we're now building. And again, I got to thank you for that as well, just because you know how to motivate me. You threw down the challenge but testimonials are hard. They really are. And if you're not going to closing, if they're showing up and you're not in a place where you can get it, or, you know, sometimes it's just awkward. And so I usually lately, what I do is I just wait and I send them that email, and sure enough, I mean, they want their $50.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do it. And then I send them a nice thank you written card with a $50 prepaid gift card.
Yep.
And I mean, I'd spend $500. I'd spend $1,000. I mean, it's worth spending a little bit extra money and some of your profits in order to get that at the end of the deal.
Dude, let me throw a little extra upgrade on that strategy for you too. So now, when you send out that prepaid Visa card to them, mm-hmm. and you thank them, you obviously know that they're incentivized by cash rewards to take actions. So I would take it one step further, and you may already be doing this, but if not, add this to your process, is I would then say, you know, amazing, whatever, thank you, da-da-da. And also, did you know about our referral program? If you know other people who may need to sell their house fast or want to list their house, if you refer them to us through this page or this phone number or whatever your referral mechanism is, and we end up purchasing your house, we will give you $500 or whatever your amount is. Okay. So now you're going, cool, I know they're motivated by cash rewards. Right. Let's get this to them. They are happy with us because they gave us a review. So they're going to give us a glowing recommendation. And now let's let them know about a referral program. And you'd be surprised. And even if it only gets you one extra deal a year, but the thing is, oftentimes people run in packs with those that are similar to them, right? So if someone's going through a situation, that's this, maybe they know people who have also done the same thing. So I would add that on.
Another, and it doesn't, you're sending it out anyway, you might as well do it. Another
that's good, the thing.
Exactly. It's free.
That's the thing, man. That's one thing I learned a long time ago, and I don't do it perfectly all the time. It's kind of one of those things, do as I preach, not as I do things, because oftentimes your own business, you forget about those things. But if you're already sending something out, find a way to attach onto it to add more value to them and push them further down the path with you.
Well, I actually created a custom thank you card. Hold on, I'll get it.
Yeah, for sure. I love it.
So, yeah, specifically for the thank you, I've created a thank you card mm-hmm. with, branded with all my stuff.
Ooh, I like it.
So it's specific for the thank you, where it has all of our stuff on there. I do a handwritten note with the card in there, and it's a customized thank you.
Dude, that's good right there. So add in the referral thingy, and I think you're going to end up getting some referrals there. And then it's like this engine. It's this massive engine that just keeps on going, man. So guys, if you just implement those things that Tyler just said, okay, and those are ones I coached him on the last call, and we talked about at the last Carrot Camp as well, start to pay people for reviews. And here's a couple of reasons is we've been doing some tests too, Tyler, where we have seen in both agents and investors where a Google review profile, and even in some cases a Yelp review profile, that overwhelmingly has really, really good positive feedback, and it's got a lot of them. We're finding that there's strong correlations that can be impacting your ranking in Google too. And I know this past 6 to 8 months, Google rolled out something called the Google Medic Update, I think it was. And the Medic Update is essentially where they call it the Medic Update because they were originally looking in the medical industry. But it also there it's it impacted a lot of other industries outside of medical. But they were going, okay, we're going to adjust someone's SEO rankings based off of the review profile. Do they seem like they're credible? And they were actually physically sending out manual employees at Google to review entire industries as much as they could and go and manually go, oh, this person doesn't seem credible because they have a 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 10 review thing, but they're ranked number 2 in Google. Therefore, they must not be good. We're going to bump them down. That's happening right now. They did that as a test. They'll eventually automate it if they haven't already started working on it. But we are seeing reviews and strong review profiles online impact rankings. And so that's why it's going to be even more important for you guys to do what Tyler's doing.
Well, and even on Carrot, there's a right out of the gate, you get the testimonial side of it, and it comes with testimonials. And you can go to people's sites and know whether it's just a made up canned or if it's authentic and real. And so I would also encourage people to spend time, if they're just launching a Carrot site, to spend time on those to make them not as canned and more genuine and real. Mm-hmm. The other thing too, and it's not to change subjects. I mean, one of the other pages that I'd really focus on is the about page. Mm-hmm. It's our one of our most visited pages on the site. So having a well done, and I look at a lot of Carrot sites where there's no photo, there's nothing, and yep. People are going to that. And even though you might have a long tail piece of content that's really, really well, if they jump over to that, you could possibly you could have done the work really well there. But if you don't have a really good about page, mm-hmm. they're off on somebody else's website.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, I think the most important page on your site needs to be your about page, and you got to spend some time, well written, mission statement, values, who you are, what you stand for. It's so important, and it's a credibility piece. I mean, you create it, but they've got to like and trust you. And if they get there and they don't know you and they feel as though you're hiding behind something, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Guys, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, you can't see this before watching the video. As Tyler's talking, like, I'm smiling inside because I'm going, this is like the perfect client of ours where you learn, you execute, you learn, you execute. And the stuff that Tyler's talking about, guys, I mean, it's not this groundbreaking stuff that isn't out there, right? It's stuff I've been talking about in general for years in many cases. But just over time, Tyler executed it piece by piece. He didn't do it all at once. He didn't do it all at once. It was, you know, over the past two and a half years, let me do this, and now let me do this, and now let me do this. And so that's kind of part of it, is don't go after perfection, go after progress. And the first thing that we always suggest people do, and you've probably seen the graphic, guys and gals, but I call it my conversation marketing framework, and it's like a bullseye. At the center of the bullseye is brand. The next ring is discovery. The outer ring is evangelism. And I always like to focus on the center of the bullseye first when we're doing our content, we're setting up our websites, which is brand, your credibility, your about page, your testimonials, all that stuff. Because like Tyler said, if you get someone there by focusing on discovery phrases first, hey, sell my house fast, mobile home phrases or pay-per-click ad or whatever, you can get them there, but you might lose the sale because you didn't tighten up the credibility. So always focus on brand and credibility first, and then start to attract traffic through discovery, because then you're going to be able to capture it. It's good stuff. Tyler, man, this is awesome, dude. I really appreciate it. I'm going to recap some things for people right now. I could talk to you for hours and hours, and I want to respect your time. But first thing is, I'm pumped that you're seeing success on the agent and investor side. And I really advocate, guys and gals, that you either partner with an agent if you're an investor, or you become one. And if you're an agent, I really suggest you align with, become an investor, or somehow partner with an investor in your market. Because you're going to need that advantage of being able to show up to your seller's houses and say, hey, here's a really reputable investor we work with. Here's the price they could offer for your house. And here's what we could list it for. If you're not doing that, Keller Williams just published today that they're partnering with OfferPad. So OfferPad is funding all of Keller Williams' iBuying now. Okay, so KW agents are going to be showing up with offers to everything now. So if you're not partnering with an investor and you're an agent, then you're going to be behind the eight ball. Next, get your testimonial engine going. Don't be afraid to invest some money to get those testimonials. They're going to pay off. You're going to win or lose deals based off your credibility in this market. And then number three was really good, man, going through the results you're getting on creating more content, more of the kind of longer tail content, the really targeted things that people that are selling mobile homes are looking for and all kinds of stuff like that. And we have a lot of resources, guys and gals, on how to find those types of topics that we can go into later. But check those puppies out. Anything else on your mind, man, before we close this off?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, it goes back to my ebook and realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got this, it's just, it's not going to happen overnight. You got to have realistic expectations. You know, after these podcasts, a lot of people always reach out to me. I hear their frustration, but again, you know, it's, you see people and their success, but you don't, you don't realize what they did behind the scenes in order to get there. And it takes time. And with SEO, you've got to give it time. And I mean, I can only imagine what you see on your end, how people come in, they don't do the work, and then they blame the system. And it's not that. You've got to give this type of strategy, in my opinion. It can happen fast,
but
you got to give it a good year. And that's the reality of it. And if you're not willing to do the work, can it work? Absolutely. But in order for it to really, really work, you got to put in the time.
Dude, and this is what I'll finish with right here is the cool thing about it, guys and gals that are watching, the cool thing about it is when you do the strategy this way, it's going to be way harder for others to knock it off. It's going to be way harder. It's easy for someone to knock off ads. It's easy for someone to knock off a landing page. It's easy on Facebook now to go, like, I can go see what your ads are on Facebook, guys and gals. So Facebook works great. I love it. But it's easy to knock off. What's hard to knock off is building expertise and building authority through content, getting ranked in Google. Most people are just going to give up on that. So it's sustainable. It helps you build that predictability, helps you build the consistency, helps you get more of that financial freedom.
It's the compound. I mean, Darren Hardy's compound effect. It's, you know, if you do, let's say you do one post a week, it's four posts per month, and then you compound that over a period of 3 or 4 years, it's hard for people to catch up just because you've got so much content created. But the key is the consistency of doing it, you know, month after month after month. And that's what I do.
And let me spend a couple minutes breaking this down, because people are probably going, well, shoot, a post a week. So you, just so people know what you use in the Carrot system, you're using the Advanced Marketer system, the plan. You're scheduling those articles. Then we have other content pieces where you guys can go find it in some of the other podcasts with Tyler, where he talks about how he goes into those articles and refines the articles and adjusts them. So rather than him having to invent the article title, do the research, write the full article, all that, he uses our content automation system, keys him up in about a minute, and then he goes in there and looks at the drafts and goes, cool, let me spend 10, 15, 20 minutes on this article rather than an hour or more, or hiring it out, tweaking it up, adding a picture here or there, things like that.
And making it more specific to the local market. I mean, the content, you can do that strategy without even reinventing anything, just go in, but you know, you make it more market specific.
More market specific. And then he showed earlier where he's using the video post strategy. So this guy's, he's using our model. Number one, have a high converting website that looks great, builds brand, builds credibility, good about page, good testimonials. Okay, so he's got that. Number two, build out location pages. Okay, that's what he did next, is build out all those location pages for the different areas, cities, things like that. He did that. It's working. Number three, you start to post content. Use our content automation system. If you want really good results, edit those up a little bit, way better than writing them from scratch, doing your own research and stuff. Number four is then you start to do video posts. Then you start to go, cool, what are these content ideas that I've got that are fresh from me? Let me go get a video camera, go to my escrow officer, just do them with myself, record those video posts, put them up into our video posts system that then yanks the words out, puts them into writing, and then you can go the extra mile like Tyler does and spend 10, 15, 20 minutes taking that video post now and just editing it up and adding some stuff. And guys, that's the model. Just do that over and over again. Just rinse, repeat, and you're going to start to see those bricks stack. Those bricks are going to stack, and then are eventually going to become this big wall that's going to catch all of your leads for you.
And then you can be Dave Brown.
Now he can make the impact he wants to make.
And I'll give some credit to Dave. I mean, that was the podcast that put me in the car to have me on your doorstep.
I love it. Dude, I'm so proud of you, man. And Tyler, appreciate the heck out of you, buddy. Really proud of you, and just proud to call you a friend and a Carrot member, of course. And everyone, take that inspiration. We dropped a lot of tactical stuff, a lot of strategic stuff, and also just some guidance and mindset tweaks we want you guys to make. So, Tyler, thank you very much. Where can people find out more about you or follow you?
Just Google me, man.
There we go.
And I got an ebook that you have, but yeah, they can reach out to me, and you know, whether it's EXP, growing RevShare, love to help people. So if you're an agent not with EXP and want to learn more, I'd love to talk to you about that.
Cool.
And I can help you on the investment side of things too, because I have had some people reach out to me and join EXP as a result, and they're also investors. So I'm also helping some people behind the scenes with what it is that I do.
I love it. We'll attach Tyler's ebook to the show notes of this. If you guys want to get his free ebook where he walks through his process here in more detail, go grab in the show notes and check it out. Guys, have an amazing rest of the week. Tyler, thank you again, man. Tell Mimi hey for me, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it. Have a good one. Thanks.
See you.